Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I am your host, Jamie Malm, and this is the podcast where I take you behind the scenes of financial planning, as I have served as an advisor to other financial advisors, which is a thing I think most people don't even know exists. But that is something I have done for the last two decades. And today we are talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, young athletes and how they can make some smart money decisions. Specifically, we're talking about NIL money, building financial foundations for student athletes.
Well, that is a fascinating topic. I really have to hand it to you, Jamie. When you said this is the topic you wanted to talk about, sent me some bullet points, I'm like, oh, wow. Because this, I don't care if you're into sports, you're not into sports. Money in college sports is fascinating because of all the implications. And there are so many people out there. It's one of those topics where people really disagree with it or really agree with it. But whether you agree or disagree with it, it's kind of what we have to live with. But first, I think you buried the lead, though. Our topic, we'll get to that. But people need to realize an advisor to other financial advisors. So you're not only a financial advisor to your clients. I'm just trying to imagine, Jamie, how good you have to be as a financial advisor to be an advisor to other financial advisors across the country, which you are. And I've done some of those shows with you too that are geared toward helping them grow their business or better help their clients with their finances, right?
Yeah, it's been a fascinating 20 plus years actually in working with some of the best across the country. So I feel very blessed that I've had that exposure. It certainly made me a better advisor to my clients, but it is something that I still do. So in addition to working with my own clients, having a group of financial advisors that I still mentor and coach and help put plans together for their clients, it's still something that I do. So that is where the fly on the wall finance came from. Is my idea was to just, let's take you behind the scenes. Let's show you what actually happens, the good, the bad, the ugly, what to look for, maybe what to avoid. Because there are certainly some wonderful advisors out there and there are some that are not so good. So our goal is to help everybody just navigate what this industry really looks like.
Yeah. Well, talking about NIL, and it doesn't mean nothing, believe me, it's something. NIL. I was trying to figure out what it stood for. But it does, you know, I like, you know me, I like to keep things simple. I'm good at simple things. I'm told that often. But NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And it's money to compensate athletes for their name, image, and likeness, which never existed in college sports before. But it's really changing the game for college athletes, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's changed the game. So prior to 2021, college athletes could not earn anything from their social media or endorsements or just what it sounds like, their name, their image, their likeness. And that changed 4 years ago. Now they legally can earn money off of their own brand. So today we're talking about what that really means, the opportunities, the pitfalls, some of the things that young athletes should be aware of. So something that could be really beneficial doesn't turn into something that could be a negative, which happens, unfortunately, and we'll probably see happen more than what we'd like.
Yeah. So if you're an athlete listening or a parent or a grandparent of somebody who is an athlete or somebody who likes just likes college sports, buckle up, because this is going to be a great show. This is going to be, I think, a fascinating topic. I'm interested as a financial advisor to get your take, because that's a big criticism. If you give young people a lot of money, what happens? I know, Jamie, if you'd given me the kind of money some of these college athletes are looking at getting when I was 21 or 20 years old, that would have been trouble.
Well, 100%. I think it would have been for all of us. I should do an episode sometime about, you know, like the dumbest financial moves that financial advisors have ever made. Like, I'll share one. When Brad and I were in college, he had just graduated from boot camp. And we decided that the thing that, you know, really every 21-year-old needs more than anything would be a giant big screen and a giant entertainment center to go around that big screen. So this was 25-ish years ago. It wasn't like the compact, you know, flat screens. These were like, if you remember, the big monster, like they looked like aquariums that sat on the floor. We hauled a big screen and the whole like entertainment center that went around it on top of our car home from boot camp in Texas, all the 12 hours home, because it was such a good deal. We really just couldn't pass it up. And of course, isn't that what we should have spent our money on?
No.
So,
nope.
Yeah. Teenagers, young adults, we don't always make the best money decisions. So, let's start with the basics. Yes. NIL is name, image, and likeness. It's just the right for athletes to be compensated for their brand. And it does have some controversy surrounding it. This has been so off limits for so long. It's constantly evolving. And we've got kind of two sides of the coin here. I'm a believer that I think that young athletes should be able to be compensated. For so many years, we've had colleges and entities making millions off of these college athletes. And if we can utilize this to give them a solid start to a financial foundation, I think it's a great thing. So I think this can be a huge foundational item for these college athletes.
I would agree. I would agree in that sense, especially if I was a college athlete and I saw my likeness, my name on jerseys being sold for $100 each at the games and online. And then I went to a Target or a Best Buy or Walmart and I saw the video game for college football video game, you know, EA Sports.
Yep.
And my likeness is on there because I'm a star quarterback. And I get nothing, zero from that. And I know that that video game probably made hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue.
Yeah.
That is frustrating. It's not fair. And so I do believe it needed to be addressed. Now, to address it and not ruin the lives of the students and not ruin the sport by putting more money into it or making money a focus, that's the tricky tightrope walk I think people are trying to walk with this, right?
Well, we have college freshmen that are rolling up in these, you know, $100,000 sports cars and brand new Range Rovers. And that's both exciting, but it can be risky too, right? You've got these 18-year-olds that are signing deals worth thousands, even millions, and they don't have any experience. And probably if their parents are like the rest of us, their parents don't have any experience with suddenly getting an influx of millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's usually uncharted territory and full of promise, right? Athletes can finally earn what they deserve, but without guidance, that money can vanish in a flash. And that's what we don't want to have happen.
Well, you're a freshman, you're rolling up in your Range Rover and you haven't even figured out how to do laundry yet at that point in your life.
Right.
You can't do your own laundry.
A little out of order.
You can't do your own laundry, but you're driving an $80,000 vehicle. Or $100,000 vehicle, or have a Rolex or something. It's just, it kind of throws things out of whack a bit, but that's what you're here for, right? I mean, if a college athlete's listening and he or she has a chance to make some money, they need to pick up the phone and give Jamie Malm a call, because you want to have somebody who's not emotionally attached, who can say, hey, here's what you need to be saving for the future. Here's what you need to do for your career and your future, not just today, right?
Yep. So there's a step-by-step process, which we're going to get to. I want to talk through not just what not to do, but hopefully we can give some guidance on what to do. Yeah. But I think first we have to understand the rules of this new game, and the power dynamic has definitely shifted, right? You have now D1 college athletes that are handing over to their coaches a list of demands. And some of that may be, you know, NIL money or help get this NIL package, which, just to be clear, the NIL money doesn't come from the college itself. Colleges can help give guidance and help connect them with, they're called collectives, which could be donors, boosters, alum. They're basically raising money for these athletes. It could be partnerships, companies, local businesses, brands, but they're external entities that are providing the money to the athlete. And there are some rules around this. There's some compliance and things like that, but it's a little bit the Wild West, right? I mean, this is pretty new and it's pretty open for what people want to do. I had to do a little search because I'm not the biggest fan of, or I mean, my husband and my son would laugh. Like, do you know any college athletes? Barely. But I looked up who the highest paid was. So Arch Manning, which I did not know that Arch Manning was at Texas. And yes, he is the nephew of Eli and Peyton. Yep. But $6.5 million. And he wasn't even the starting quarterback when he got that $6.5 million. So we're talking, you know, millions and millions. And there was just a long list of other examples of 6 million, 5 million, 4 million, 4.5 million, 3 million. I mean, all of these young kids that suddenly have all these funds. And obviously one of the biggest mistakes then, as you can imagine, is not going on a spending spree, right? A spending spree when you've got $6.5 million would have probably been the equivalent of us buying the big screen for the ratios of how much money we had.
Yes.
But it's life-changing money, or can be for these kids, but not if it's gone in a couple of years, right? We've got to be smart about what we do with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, you know, if they don't have a good, trustworthy financial manager to help them and financial services professional, they can get themselves into so much trouble, but there's so much money in it. And, you know, the negative aspect as a college sports fan, I will just throw this out there, is that now we're seeing it is like the Wild West. And what I've heard about, like Ohio State can pay more or get more money to get a college person. Let's say somebody's doing really well at Alabama and Ohio State says, or I'm just using them as an example because they're two big schools, they have money. Ohio State, usually you'd see a college player stay with the same college, obviously, his whole college career. Now they're jumping around every year.
It's more like professional sports.
It's more like professional sports. I don't like that aspect. I like the fact that you get a scholarship, you have to stay with a place. It's based on the scholarship. That's the reward, rather than, I think that they do, if they're, once they reach a certain status and they're selling jerseys and tickets and people are making money off of their name individually, then I think they do deserve compensation. That's why I like this. So I think it's a good thing overall, but I hate to see it affect the sports. And I think they should make a rule where they have to stay at the same college throughout. They can't.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's a constantly evolving situation, which is one of the reasons why you really want some guidance, so you know, what are the potential changes? What are the changes with the collectives? I mean, one of those changes was initially they could get a tax exempt status, and now that is gone. Well, what's the trickle down effect to that? So there are things that you need to be aware of, not just how they work now, but are there changes, as I'm sure there will be as the years progress? So mistakes. One, we don't obviously want to go on spending sprees. I think that's a no-brainer, but it's easier to have happen than you think, right? You think, well, I'm just going to do this one thing and I'm going to do this next one thing. And then you realize, oh gosh, those really add up. And now I don't have nearly what I thought I would. You combine that with, you said it's really important to work with a financial advisor, and it is, but there are some predatory advisors out there too that are mismanaging funds, that are charging outrageous fees, that could put you into bad, I say bad, but investments that may not be appropriate for you, right?
Right.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And they know these young athletes, they're not going to have the experience with investments. They're not going to know what to look for. Did you find a predatory advisor that sold you mutual funds where they took 6% in a commission right off the top of everything that they sold to you, and they're loaded with fees? That happens, and that's not abnormal. That's how a lot of these mutual funds and things are set up. So you have to know who's giving you the guidance, who's benefiting most from what they're selling, and is it in line with really what your long-term goals are and what would be most beneficial for you? Or is it really just generating a high commission for them?
Yeah. And don't get me started on their cousin Johnny, who knows crypto, right? And wants to get them invested in crypto. And for young people, they like the sound of that because they know they've heard people can make money and it's new and it's tech. So as a college person in their 20s or even teens, they might say, yeah, that's where I want to put this money. I do want to invest it. I'm going to do the smart thing. I'm not going to buy a Rolex and a Lamborghini. I'm going to put a lot of that money into crypto, where, as we know, that's so volatile that, speaking of the Wild West, that's not necessarily a good long-term investment. It might not be in their best interest, maybe a little portion of it, but not all of it. And so they might be taking advice from, you know, a sleazy family member or a so-called financial professional who isn't looking out for their best interests.
Or somebody that feels like they're genuinely giving you good direction, but does not have the base knowledge to be giving that direction. You mentioned,
especially
crypto,
with that much money.
Right. You mentioned crypto, and that's something that I do hear a lot about, and that is something that a lot of younger people are interested in. Crypto's not bad. Digital currency is not bad. AI and crypto and blockchain, all the things that we are just now wrapping our heads around, how is this really going to play a role in our world moving forward? It's not going anywhere. Are there ways to be invested in that and involved in that that are responsible and align with your risk tolerance and your time horizon? Absolutely. Are there ways to get involved in it where the whole month, you know, the whole portfolio is gone in 3 months or tomorrow? Yes. So just because you want to invest in crypto doesn't mean you can't. It just means get some guidance on how best to do that, rather than just, well, somebody said this company is going to, you know, double their value in the next 5 years, and I definitely want to be part of that, so I'm going all in.
Yeah,
that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah, putting all your eggs in one basket. But what about taxes? Are these NIL funds taxable? I would assume so.
Yeah, 100%. So taxes are the thing that, unfortunately, you wouldn't think that we just forget taxes are due, but this isn't like a paycheck from an employer, right? It's not like, oh, hey, somebody has taken out some taxes up front and they're reporting to the IRS. This is money that's just paid to you. Somebody needs to be tracking what are your expenses associated with this? What are your estimated quarterly payments? Worst case scenario, you don't withhold anything. You don't plan for that. You either invest the money, spend the money, do whatever. Tax bill comes due and you don't have it. That is a rough situation to be in, one that we do not want to see happen to anybody, let alone young people just starting their careers and their financial lives. And now we've got tax liens. All of a sudden we were in trouble with the IRS before we've even really gotten started.
Yeah. So worst case scenario with this situation, let's say you've got a kid with a $500,000 NIL deal, no budget, no tax plan, flashy lifestyle, fast forward a year or two, gets injured. His career ends because he's got a bad knee injury that won't heal or something. Money's gone. That's not just a sad story. It is avoidable, right?
Yeah, it is avoidable. And that is a sad story. And I think injury is one of those things that we think about, or we always have with professional athletes. And we're going to start hearing more about it with college athletes now, because these NIL deals, they get all this money up front and they think, well, I'm going to keep getting that. And then I'm going to go pro and I'm going to keep, this is just the start of this, fountain of money that's going to keep pouring through. So it's not a priority to create a budget. It's not a priority to create a tax plan or a written income plan or projections on how to accomplish what I want in the future. They feel like, I'm young, I'm invincible, I'm going to keep playing. And as we know, that may not always be the case. In fact, as I was looking up Arch Manning to see how much he got paid, I thought, well, who is Cooper Manning? Like Eli and Peyton, and I've met Archie before. And another thing that Brad Nashen laughed at me about, like, do you even know who Archie Manning is? I said, yes, I watched 30 on 30, whatever the ESPN show was. It's great. So yes, I do know who Archie Manning is. But Cooper Manning, great football player also, probably, as much potential as the other two, he had a spinal cord injury.
Yeah.
And it's things like that, that you don't know what's going to happen. So if we've got money that's available to us now, financial literacy is crucial. We want to consider all the things in play here. So from a tax standpoint specifically, is the student athlete being claimed as a dependent? How does the NIL collective have them set up? Are they taking a portion of it? It could be that they have them set up as an independent contractor, maybe an employee, maybe it's a self-employed situation. So tracking and documenting all expenses, calculating and paying your estimated quarterly payments, determining what your taxable income is going to be. The kids are now responsible for all of these things. And if you don't have guidance from a tax professional, that can feel really overwhelming and things can go awry quickly. That's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, they can. And so what are some of the things that people can do?
Yep. I think I lost you there for a minute.
Here we go. Sorry about that.
Okay, you're back.
They'll edit that out. I was just asking, what are some of the steps that they could take?
Yep. So the steps that you can take, first of all, we need to understand budgeting. That would be the very first thing to do before you make any big purchases, before you make any decisions on what to do with the money, a written budget. From there, we need a written income plan. Is this money that we're going to use to live on now? Right? A lot of college athletes, we don't have time for part-time jobs. Being a college athlete is their part-time job. So do we need to take a portion of these funds and allocate it over your college career to say, in lieu of having a part-time job, this would be the funds that I'm going to use. And instead of living like a celebrity, I'm going to live like a college kid, but I'm going to use this money to help supplement what I need to get by. And then what am I going to use for my future goals? And how are taxes going to play into that? So that's step number one, get educated, get your written budget outlined.
Yeah. So maybe before buying that designer bag, open a savings account, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Maybe that is a first step. So then the second thing would be set aside money for taxes. It can be very overwhelming, and how are we going to be taxed and what's the best way to structure it so that we can limit taxation? All those things will come. But first step is, no, we're going to have to pay taxes on this money. So set aside a chunk of it that we're not going to touch. We're not doing anything with it. We're not allocating it for investments or income or savings, it is allocated for taxes. And 30% is probably a good rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a lot, and it's not, you know, super exciting to say, I'm going to take 30% of this and go pay it to the government, but that's a realistic number. So set it aside.
Okay, so what about business stuff? I've heard that some college athletes are even setting up LLCs. Is that true?
Yeah, good point. So LLCs, limited liability corporation, they are what they sound like, right? It gives you some protection. So if you are going to be benefiting from your name, your image, your likeness, you have endorsements, you have deals, you have maybe like a social media influencer status, all these ways in which money can come in, you're essentially setting up your own business. So having an LLC to separate your business assets from your personal assets is, one, it's smart from a tax standpoint. Two, it's smart from a protection standpoint. Obviously, the more of a celebrity status you get, you never know. I mean, think about college athletes that are, I don't know, at a party sometime, a guy picks a fight and now you're charged with assault, you know, or who knows. But you can imagine the list of things that we could worry would happen to some of these kids that are now a target for, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to try to get him to take a swing at me and then I'm going to sue him. When we have money, things come about. So having some kind of protection, maybe even a trust to go along with setting up an LLC. But we're talking about, you know, real businesses here that we need some business advice on to really know what would be most advantageous for us.
Yeah. And speaking of trusts, the good news is I've heard that some colleges even work with some financial professionals to set up trusts. That's part of the deal, where if they're under a certain age, they, you know, they start at the youngest age and go up, but a certain amount has to be in a trust and they don't get it all at once.
Yeah. And that's, again, where things are constantly evolving and there'll be differentiating factors between colleges and what's available. I don't hate that idea. You know, I think it's the more we can do to help set up these kids for long-term success is really what we want. But in lieu of that, if you're not with a college that's giving some of that guidance, what I would look for then is a financial advisor that has a team. So this team approach with a CFP, a tax advisor, and an attorney, that's really kind of the four members of the team that you want. Financial advisor, CFP, tax advisor, attorney. They should all be working together to put the plan together. That's something that we feel very strongly about at Iron Horse Financial. We have all of those as strategic partners. So anytime, whether it's a young athlete or it's retirees or, you know, it's just somebody that needs some comprehensive advice, we don't like to make recommendations in a bubble. Because if I make a recommendation over here as a financial advisor and I don't know how that impacts your tax situation, or I don't know what the goal is from a legal standpoint to either protect assets or pass those on, then I'm not upholding my fiduciary responsibility to act in your best interest. You need somebody that covers all aspects.
Well, yeah. And I know a lot of folks are really into the DIY thing. They just watch YouTube videos and think I can do it on my own. But you don't want to DIY your financial future. I mean, off a YouTube video. That's not doable. There are too many moving parts and it changes frequently, right? Every year, every month lately, it seems like the financial landscape is changing.
Right. And unfortunately, in our industry, I think we're one of the only industries where you might have somebody that works at, you know, an Edward Jones or an Ameriprise, and they were in a totally different career 2 months ago. Like they are brand new to the financial space. And it's hard as a consumer, any consumer, let alone a young athlete, to know, does this person have the experience and the expertise that I need? Is this the right place for me? So kind of knowing who to work for, who to work with, I should say, what to look for. That's really important. And that can avoid so many issues later. So a team approach would be my number one recommendation to that.
All right. Yeah. You don't want somebody who just, yesterday was selling auto insurance or just selling life insurance. You got to have somebody with a lot of experience. So to recap, what we need to do here, Jamie, do that for us.
Yep. So first things first, set aside taxes. I would say even build an emergency fund. So there could be things that come up, right? Most kids don't own a home where it's the typical emergency fund where what if my water heater goes out? But there are things that we might need. Having a little bit of money set aside, we don't want credit cards. We don't want young kids getting in debt. But then start investing for the future. Don't fall prey to overspending. And get a team to help give you guidance on the legality of the protection, the taxation of it, the overall financial plan. What I would hate to see happen is somebody try to make good decisions here. Say, like you mentioned earlier, I'm going to be responsible with this money. I'm not going to go spend it on cars and shopping sprees and vacations. I'm going to go and invest it. And then they get taken advantage of by somebody who knows, hey, this is somebody with millions or hundreds of thousands that doesn't really know any better. I'm going to go recommend XYZ and it may not be in your best interest. So who do you work with? Set aside money. Don't forget about taxes. Those are your big ones.
Yeah, those are the big ones. All right. Do you have anything else for our listeners out there before we go, Jamie?
I would say if this is a topic that you are concerned about, a couple of ways that you can reach us. You can always go to our website, which is ironhorsefinancialservices.com. Phone number's out there. Our email is out there. You can get a hold of us that way. You can also call the office, and the phone number is 620-377-6456. That'll ring right to our office. Let us know if this is something that you're like, hey, I think I need to have a conversation about this. We'd be more than happy to do that.
All right. Well, thank you, Jamie. And listeners and viewers, don't forget to subscribe. Also, leave a review. We always say, please go ahead and leave a honest 5-star review for the show. Share the episode with an athlete in your life, and we'll catch you next time. Take care, and great show today, Jamie. That does it for today's episode.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week. That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.